Tonight we begin a new class period, new quarter. Very excited about this study. This study, we're going to cover a lot of things I'm confident you've never studied or talked about. And matter of fact, as I develop these outlines, you're going to have an opportunity, if you'll talk with me in the next week or two, to tell me some directions you would like this class to go. This is a study of religious beliefs. Man, that's a broad subject. I mean, that's a huge subject, and so I can't cover everything. I know some things I am going to cover. I'm going to cover some specific religious groups. I'm going to talk about Catholicism, Mormonism, at least. We're going to pick a couple of other religious groups to look at. You give me some feedback. We're going to talk about movements in which religious groups abide. We're going to talk about Pentecostalism. We're going to talk about Calvinism. And so those are general philosophies that are out there. Last time I did this class, I think we ended up talking about Hinduism. We will probably deal with Islam. We'll probably talk about Islam. Now, anybody knows anything about these subjects know that in a quarter, man, you know, that's a lot of stuff. So we obviously are not going to be able to give you the great detail of all of these things, but my goal, and we'll talk about it here tonight, we've got certain goals of why we're studying this and what we're going to accomplish, okay? So, you be thinking, what religious group would you like to be covered in this study? Or is there a philosophy or a religious belief system that you want covered? Give me feedback, and I'll try to make some choices, and again, I think we're going to have a very interesting study. I did this years ago at Cahaba Heights, and people really found it very, very interesting. We ended up, and in my study, when I was studying, I found out things I never knew. Let me tell you why we're doing this. What we're trying to do and what we're trying not to do. We are not engaged in this study to try to arrogantly say, look at us, we got the truth and everybody else is lost. That is not what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is reach as many people with the gospel as possible. And Paul talked about this as he was looking at people in their various backgrounds. Notice here in 1 Corinthians 9:19 it says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made a servant to all, that I might win the more. As to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those under the law, I was under the law, that I might win those who were under law. To those who were without law, as without law. Not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who were without law." The point that I'm making here is that the reason why we will study somebody else's religious beliefs and background so that we can, with the most love possible, the greatest understanding, try to show them who Jesus Christ is. Okay? And that's our goal here. And when you understand somebody's background, you can so much more effectively teach them. And I guess you guys can probably tell me better than I can tell you. You're on a university campus like this. You run across a lot of things, don't you? You run across a lot of belief systems and things you probably never thought about. So again, we want to try to talk about that. Let me show you how religious background can help. In Acts 23, there was an occasion where the Jews were ready to kill Paul. But Paul perceived the religious background of his audience, and his audience was divided between Sadducees and Pharisees. And so Paul knew their belief systems, and he also knew that they had kind of a battle going on. And what he did, because of his background, he knew the background of his audience. He makes this statement in Acts 23:6. "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope of the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged." And what he did, because he knew their background, he was able to use that background to divide them and save his neck, frankly, and gave him an opportunity to teach further. So again, as a teacher, when I'm trying to teach somebody, if I could know their background and their beliefs with wisdom and love, I can better approach them to open up their heart, or in this case, save my neck. You know. But I'm telling you, knowing that background is very useful. And you see this in other occasions of when Paul knew the Greeks. For instance, the Greeks, they had all these gods. In trying to teach them, he appealed to common ground. There was a poet In Acts 17:28, it says, well, in Acts 17:28, 27 and 28, he says, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they may grow for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as some of your poets have said. For we are also His offspring. So again, you're teaching people, know their background. Now let me tell you some things we're not doing in a study of religious beliefs. And by the way, if you didn't grab outlines, they were on the chair up there. I know many of you probably didn't get one. You can get one going out. You'll be seeing it on the board here. We are not in this class to misrepresent anybody. One of the worst things you can do if you're trying to teach somebody and you read one of these hit books where people misrepresent somebody and all these people are of the devil and they believe in sacrificing their children tied upside down and all this stuff, and you believe it, and then you go and tell that person, well, I know you like to sacrifice your children tied upside down. They go, what? You know, and so I'm telling you, it doesn't do us any good anytime to misrepresent what somebody believes. That happens to us all the time, doesn't it? People tell us, well, churches of Christ, they're legalistic. Churches of Christ believe in water salvation. Churches of Christ believe in trying to earn their way to heaven. All this stuff. And so that happens. I've seen that happen on my end. And I'm kind of thinking, well, you know, what are they reading? They don't know what I believe. So, again, that is very, very impossible. We need to teach. We want to help people see the truth. We want to, when we're, and by the way, I'm not afraid for us to be challenged. You know, sometimes I've done studies like this with people, and this is normally in the home, and I'd bring in people from the other side and to teach. And by the way, I'm not afraid to do that here. One of the things we could even consider this time, either doing it in this class or another setting, bring in a Mormon representative and let them present their side and let me answer. We did that in Charlottesville. And I'll never forget my kids after we went through that session. We had a back and forth and they were going, that was interesting. You know, they got to see things they've never saw before. I've done that with Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and not afraid to do it with anybody. And so that might be something we might want to consider in the course of this quarter, whether we do it in this class or set another setting. So you tell me if you're interested in that. And somebody wants to come in and tell us where we're wrong, we'll be Bereans. Acts 17:11, it says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out for these things were so. So again, we're here to help, study, to learn, to serve. We're not going to be like the Pharisee where, boy, I'm glad I'm not like these religious idiots. Believe in all this error and they're blind to the Scriptures. I'm glad I'm humble and a great servant. We don't want to have that attitude. We want to have an attitude to be open, to study, and to help others. Okay. Let's talk about some limitations that we have. Let us take, for instance, the denomination I came out of, the Baptist Church. It's interesting, I've been studying, talking with a friend that's been going to my website and from a Baptist background. We've been talking this week about a lot of interesting things. What would be the problem if I got up here and tried to tell you what the Baptist Church believes? What problem might I have in doing that? I'm talking about honestly trying to do my study, trying to be as honorable as I could. What would be the problem of me standing up here and telling you this is what Baptists believe? Exactly. Matter of fact, sometimes in a sermon, people or somebody in a class, some say, "What do members of the Church of Christ believe?" You know what my answer is? My brethren believe both sides of just about every issue you could think. But now, having said that, I think there would be characteristics of Churches of Christ. But that's one of the things I was talking to my Baptist friend a few days ago. I said, "You know, the Baptist church that I grew up in, you don't see much of that anymore. They've changed." And so that's another thing. As we go through these religious beliefs class, I may give you what is generally true for a movement or a belief, but you know what you got to do to find out what somebody believes? You got to ask them. And so again, It's interesting. Now there's several things we could look at here. Let me tell you, why do you see belief systems constantly changing? Why is it true you will see an evolution? Like if you took the Methodist Church 100 years ago, it is a sea change. And what they were 100 years ago and what they were now. Same true of the Baptist Church. As a matter of fact, I tell you, churches that call themselves Churches of Christ, that's true too. Why? Yes.
Popularity, and they're constricted by human understanding?
Excellent. Excellent answer. Popularity. Now, how I would put popularity is worldliness. If you follow the standard of Christ, guess what you're going to find? If you go all over the world and people want to strictly follow the standard of Christ and respect His authority and have the same respect for Scripture, you will find a uniformity of practice. You see that in New Testament times. You can see it today. But if you do not have a common authority, then you're going to have different results. Now, what typically happens, notice some verses I have here in the book of Colossians. If you do not have a dedicated following of Jesus as Lord, and a careful desire to do that, you're following something else. And what most people do, they tend to follow tradition, family influences, and their relationships. Somebody could well say, well, look, I was born in the United States, so it was quite likely that I would try to be a follower of Christ. And you know what? From a worldly perspective, yes. If you had been born in Afghanistan, in all likelihood, you would have been a Muslim. Now, I'm not telling you because you were born in a certain place and would likely become something that changes truth at all. It doesn't. But most people in the area of religion follow things that relate to tradition, relationships, popularity, and not on understanding. And that's generally the truth. And you need to examine your life too to make sure you're not that. What we're asking for and what the Lord is asking for is for us to open our heart to His Word and stand upon it and challenge everything. That's hard to do. Now notice again the battle here between the world and between the revealed truth of God. Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Teaching, 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 teaching. The authority of Christ. Most of you, raised in the church, wonderful thing. My children will be that. But my children have to build a biblical faith. They're going to naturally do things because they were raised in it. The transition that I find in dealing with my children and the transition that we find, we've got to go from doing the things we sing with people that we love to the point of seeing it and making our faith our own. Verse 18, let me show you some alternatives to that. And it was described as being cheated if you follow it. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, there's worldliness there, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Now notice here, there are other ways to have a religion. If you go these other ways, it's going to be fun. It's going to seem relevant. But God says you're being cheated. Now notice what happens here. One way you can decide what religion you are is by looking at how humble and pious people are. Can I look at you and tell whether or not you're humble and pious? You might see that, and you might not. What's the Bible talking about humility here? What kind of humility is implied in this verse? By the way, remember last quarter we studied how to study the Bible? Okay, Caleb, What do we know? This is the New King James. What do we know about that word false there in this text? Why is that lettering different from the other lettering? That word is in what?
Italics.
Italics. And what does that mean?
The exact word may not be in the Greek, but it's kind of implied the translators have added that.
That's right. So anyway, just going back to last quarter, if you were in How to Study the Bible class, you in the good translations that would put the added words in italics, that's added. And but I think the translators have got that right. And so again, but see, now going back to the point, people can look great. People can look so humble, so dedicated. But you need greater wisdom than that. If you go by what you see, you can be cheated. So we need to hold fast to the head, not hearing people telling you new and exciting things. They've seen angels. But the Bible says they're telling you things they didn't see. And there's a vanity about that. Okay, another point. We're studying what people believe so that we can help them. Guess what is true of most people? Have you ever had, by the way, how many of you have had, I'm sure we all have, I don't even mean to have a raising of hands, we've all had religious discussions with our friends, haven't we? Do you have many friends who really have an understanding about what the church they're a part of actually teaches and believes? No. Most people, they would be a Baptist, Methodist, or Catholic, or whatever, even name any group. I'm not tearing down groups here, folks, but I'm saying even people within churches of Christ. And you can find people that they really don't know what their church teaches and where they're standing. And so that presents a problem. So sometimes the things we're studying here is going to be useful, but you may have to talk to that person to finally understand where they're coming from. One more thing, real quickly. We're talking about teaching. What's the best way to know what an individual believes? What's that? Yeah. Okay. You want to be a good teacher? You want to love somebody? You want to help somebody know the Lord? One of the best ways to do is listen. I don't like people telling me what I believe. People love to cubbyhole you. Where do you attend? I'm a Christian. Oh, come on. Tell me where you attend. What's the church called? Well, I'm a member of the University of Church of Christ. Okay. Got you in the cubbyhole here. I know everything you believe. Done. Let's go on. Yeah. No. I don't like people doing me that way. And the Bible tells you, in Proverbs 18:13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Okay, let's do something here. Let's do a little discussion. Any of you got any thoughts of something you might want to cover? You want to just bring it out in this class? Is there any group that comes to your mind, any belief system you'd be interested in studying in our class?
Methodist.
Okay. Now what I'll do, I'll take a formal vote. Mm-hmm. We can tabulate this. We'll have hanging chads and all these other things. We can't cover everything. So if you don't speak up, it's not going to get covered. Anybody else have a request? Yes.
Sorry. I'm asking this because I've lived with somebody that's religion, and I'm not exactly sure about how she didn't really say anything about it. But I'd like to know more about the Muslim and Islamic faith.
Okay, definitely. That is a definite for sure. Islam. What else?
That's what I was going to say.
Okay. Yes?
I'd like to know more about Asian religions.
A what?
Asian religions, like Hinduism.
Hinduism, okay. But not Chinese, right? Okay, go ahead. Okay, Asian is included in that. Okay, not European. Okay, here you go. Yes.
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay. All right. Anybody else got a request? If you okay, yes.
Can we study the Catholicism?
Definitely. Catholicism is a certain. That'll be our next. That'll actually what we'll cover next. Catholicism comes up front, for sure. Yes.
Orthodox.
Orthodox. Yeah, that's neat. Well, Catholicism, you're just going to have to include Orthodox in it, although they're different. But you know, I had an Orthodox, a Russian Orthodox priest teach me Greek when I was living in Lincoln, Nebraska. Got to sit and know them. And I want to tell you something. They loved our call-in live program and TV program on Bible Talk. Did you know that the Russian Orthodox Church does not use instruments of music? And he'd hear my programs. All right. So it was interesting. It's quite interesting in looking at some of the background there. So, like I say, we cover a lot of things, but we probably can't cover it all. Looks like Methodist is starting to get pushed in the corner here. But we may get there. We'll do our best. We can do other classes later. Okay, here we go.
This may get covered by another okay. request, but speaking in tongues.
We're going to talk about the Pentecostal movement. And the I'm going to deal with the movement as a broad thing, and there's so many groups within it. And so we'll try to get there. Yes?
I would like to know why so many people mistake us for Church of God. What's the difference between Church of Christ and Church of God? Like, I know the difference, but
okay.
It's why going to, people mistake us?
It'll be under Pentecostalism. As a rule, you are in the Church of God, you're dealing with a Pentecostal movement as a rule. And we can talk about that. So many branches. Okay, we are, how can I put it? We've got an ambitious quarter, folks. Help me. If I overreach here, you know, we may not say enough about anything to give you what you want, but we're going to give it our best shot. And next week, we will be talking about Catholicism. Okay? We'll be talking about that. And again, if you guys are interested, I don't mind meeting another time outside this class or even in the class to even have a representative of another group come and teach. That's fascinating when you do that. Don't be afraid to listen. Don't be afraid to learn. Did you know when we were in Lincoln, Nebraska, we did a call-in radio program? And I'll give you a long story, but basically I got to talking to one of our callers, and we ended up getting some material from a Catholic apologetic organization. They ended up sending me a letter saying they wanted to have a debate in Lincoln, Nebraska, and wanted us to be the participants in it. We had a one-night debate, and we had 1,600 people come to that debate. It had radio, TV coverage, newspaper coverage, and I had the tapes of that. I was the moderator. But I could tell you some fascinating stories about that. And it was very encouraging. Everybody was encouraged. It was a very interesting discussion. I wish we lived in the age of religious debates. I wish we could have more. Who knows? Maybe because of this class, we may get some. I know how college students can be. You know, we can go pull some change there, not necessarily in an ugly way, but, you know, people say, well, we're willing to be taught. Somebody may want to take that up, and we can have some discussions. I love good, honorable discussions. Okay, what we're going to do, we're going to give overviews. We're going to look at core beliefs, and then I'm going to try to give you Bible teaching in every class. We're going to try to look at certain core beliefs and try to discuss it from a Bible perspective. Okay? And if you want more detail, talk to me. I'll give you more. If we go down a certain direction, you want more. And we're basically, again, we're trying to serve, we're trying to teach. Now, what we'll do when we take a group, here's the questions we're going to examine. We're going to answer these five questions. When we take a particular group or movement, we're going to ask this question. If it's true, or if it's not true, then we'll join this group, okay? If we conclude they have it violated the Bible anywhere, then we need to be part of that group, okay? We'll answer this question. What Bible concepts has these groups failed to apply? Number two, what things have kept people in these groups from seeing these things? Number three, for those of you who are once in these groups, what helped you learn? Helped you to learn, and that's not a good sentence there, but basically we want to talk about what helped you learn and take a stand contrary to your background. Something got left out. I was cutting and pasting today. Something got left out. All right. Number four, how might we duplicate the very failures that have led to movements like these? You know, you study Pentecostalism, you study Mormonism, you look at Catholicism, you look at others. As we suggested, there's an evolution. And normally there's a reason why a group ends up in a place. And you know what's really good as you study history and other things? You might see how they got there. That's very educational. Don't think we couldn't drift into error, folks. Don't think we couldn't. We can. And we may be there right now. We need to know about it. So we need to be very humble. Number five, how can we better reach our friends and call it a false movement? So that's the essence of our class. This other material that I have in the outline is really a discussion of worldliness. And I may just let you read that outline, and we'll probably pick up next week with Catholicism. Comments or questions on anything? Any more groups you're thinking of? Anything else you might want to share with me about what we want to cover? All right, let me go to worldliness, and I'm just going to go down to the last part of this outline. And worldliness is basically it is following of one's desires. It's man-centered. And worldliness is really a deception of Satan. Satan is involved in religion. Satan is involved in, quote, Christian religion. You know how? What does the Bible say Satan can appear as in Scripture? Why does it say that Satan, when he tries to approach us, is he going to approach us with the horns and the, you know, the pitchfork and the ugliness? How does Satan approach Christians? Yes.
Temptation.
What?
Temptation.
Temptation. What else?
Wolf in sheep's clothing.
What?
A wolf in sheep's clothing.
A wolf in sheep's clothing. What else?
An angel of light.
An angel of light. False apostles. You read 2 Corinthians chapters 10 through 12, and he basically says, man, Satan comes to you as a false apostle. He comes to you as a Christian leader. And so Satan tries to counterfeit. And so, again, that is one of the things we're trying to do. We're trying to avoid being pulled into a worldly religion. We're trying to avoid the God of this world, the ruler of this world, and we're trying to bring people out. Because Satan lies, he confuses, he pushes people away from the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 4:4, describing Satan, he says, whose minds the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And so here we see Satan's goal is to block, to obfuscate, to keep people from an open Bible. And you'll find that when you talk with people of religious beliefs, most people, they don't want their beliefs challenged. They're scared to death of that. And you'll see how Satan will close the Word of God and try to do things, get people emotional, where they close their hearts. Okay, I know Clay and I, when we were having some of our studies, we talked about this, about the standards of the world, authority. But let's talk about, when you talk about worldliness, there's basically three standards in worldliness. Why do people do the things they do? In general, why do people do the things they do in religion? If people were to categorize from purely a human perspective, what is a successful religion? Well, how would you categorize their thinking? Okay, here you are. What's a successful religion? Tell me what the world would say. Give me one of the categories of why a religion would be successful.
Numbers.
Numbers. Now, what I would put that at is what sometimes people will call the utilitarian practicality. What will work? And therefore, if you have numbers, it's working. And our success is in our numbers. Now, folks, that's not the religion of Christ. I'm sorry. Now, I'm not against numbers. I'm not against a lot of people coming to the truth. We can rejoice in that. But the religion of Christ is not a matter of using worldly wisdom to get the greatest numbers. Because really, if you wanted to get the greatest numbers, let's just talk about it just strictly from a worldly perspective. If you want to get the greatest numbers of people in your church, tell me some of the things we need to do and some things we shouldn't do.
Don't teach on anything
controversial. That's right. Water it down. Nothing controversial. Don't preach about smoking, immorality. You know, you can preach about the cannibal headhunters. They're, 1,000 miles from here. But don't preach about anything that deals with, that gets somebody upset. What else? We want numbers.
Activities so people don't get bored.
Oh man, activities. Man, cut that preaching short. Unless you got a lot of good jokes. Now, that would be different. And in the music, man, have the greatest musicians and have it emotional and fervent. Yes?
Is double talk when you're preaching? Don't actually take a stand on anything more.
Yeah. Get some politicians in there. You're right. You don't give an inch. You double talk it. Everybody feels good. What do you think? Well, he was against it. What do you think? Oh, he was for it. And everybody feels good. You know, you're right. Excellent. Yes.
Food.
Food? Yes, sir. Hey, that works for our college the studies on Sunday night, doesn't it? And by the way, we're going to have one at our house. We're going to cram everybody in like sardines at our house Sunday night. We're going to have our first devotional then, so I hope y'all can come to that. Okay, another way of trying... Yes, go ahead.
No discipline.
No discipline, that's right. We'll have the Outback Steakhouse Church. What's the Outback Steakhouse Church? What's their motto?
No rules.
No rules, just right. Okay, yeah, that's great. I'm okay, you're okay. And so that's the thing. And that is the spirit of the age, isn't it? It really is the spirit of the age. It really is. But, okay. So that's worldliness. And that's the problem you're seeing. We're sitting here going to be talking about what people believe, about arguments and truth. And in almost most of these religious movements, particularly in our country, people don't care what anybody believes. And so that's an underlying problem we face here. Another thing is, what do most people accept? That's another reason why we'll have people determine beliefs, majority rule. It's quite interesting. Back in the Dark Ages when I was a kid, the culture was dramatically different. Did you know that if somebody was divorced in my neighborhood, and for whatever reason, that was almost unheard of? There was one lady, I think, on our block that had been divorced, and we weren't sure, and that was a sad thing. That was just exceptional. And guess what all churches preached against? They preached against divorce. And again, I'm not saying we talk the Bible that somebody's thrown away or necessarily has sinned if they've been divorced. You know, there's people who are innocent. I'm not saying this. I'm not trying to tell you that, you know, that... I'm not trying to teach about divorce per se, except back in those days, the culture is you stay together, you don't divorce, and all the preachers taught that because the culture accepted it. Third thing about religion, another standard of religion, who has the strength to impose their will on everyone else? And so there are some religious groups like Jehovah's Witnesses. They are a very authoritarian group, with using control systems and techniques that you don't ask questions, you don't rebel against the leadership, you dare not take an independent stand. And so again, but that's true in every aspect of worldliness. Those are the standards of the world. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 10, and then we can have some more discussion, and our class will be up. And be sure to tell me when the bell rings. If those of you don't know, I'm hard of hearing, and I never hear it. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. We will not use worldly wisdom to try to get people to do anything. The Bible limits us in the reasoning and the approach that we take to try to reach people. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. Okay, well, let's have somebody read a translation. Who's got a translation you'd like to read? 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. Okay, what translation you got?
English Standard,
okay. All right. One of those weird ones. No, go ahead. No, that's okay. Go ahead. All right.
For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ.
See, this is very interesting. What we do is we use the truth, evidence, reason. You know there's alternatives to the truth? And those alternatives are described here as carnal. We don't use carnal weapons. Can you give me an example in trying to convince somebody of a belief of a carnal weapon? It's not talking about using a sword or a gun or an AK-47. The carnal weapons here are weapons where you get somebody to believe something, but you do it not on the basis of truth. How can you do that? Give me a carnal weapon. Give me an example of a carnal weapon.
Relationships.
Okay, who? I heard a voice and I didn't see it.
Relationships.
Relationships, yeah. Man, we're friendly. And we love you. And if you go down this path, you know, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to separate from you. The Jews use this. Remember when the man that was born blind from birth and he was healed and his parents didn't want to admit what happened? You know why they did that? They didn't want to be cast out of synagogue. That's a carnal weapon. You can use pure pressure. If you love me, you'll believe this. What's another one, Clay? Okay, relationships. Another thing we can do is deception. We can kind of give the false impression about what we believe. So we can pull them in and establish relationships. We must be committed to principle. And that, you know what, that limits the rules. It's kind of like, well, I feel like I got a hand tied behind my back. That's okay. You'll never regret staying with the Lord. We don't want to sin in order to convert somebody. You know, we don't want to do evil that good may come. And so we've got to be a people committed to principle. You know another way we can do it? We can do gossip. We can gossip against a group. Oh, man, I hear, you know, your group historically has believed this. And that'll be true. We can plant bitterness. You can plant bitterness in a person. If you want to get a recruit to your church, just get them mad at their church. Get them mad at some member in their church and they get mad and you come over here. Oh, we're not like that. You see, those are carnal weapons. They're deceitful. They don't point you to the Bible. They're not honorable. And guess what? People who start trying to work with our prospect, we're trying to teach them. Guess what other people may do? They may use those weapons. We're sitting here trying to talk to somebody. Don't you believe? No, they're the only ones. They think they're the only ones going to heaven. Don't you hear about these members of the Church of Christ? They believe in water salvation. Don't you? No, those people in the Churches of Christ, they are cultists. And here's somebody, we're trying to teach the truth, and here's somebody throwing the kitchen sink at this person, trying to teach them all kinds of stuff. It's not fair. Guess what? If we're going to win a soul, we're going to do it God's way. We can't use deceit and dishonesty. And if honesty and the Word of God doesn't convert them, then folks, that's okay. Next week, Catholicism. We're going to get a new outline and we're going to try to cover that. Let me ask you, since the second bell hasn't rung yet, right? What are the core doctrines of Catholicism? If you were to look at a Catholic and say, what would be core beliefs that are absolutely critical to the Catholic faith? I'm going to give you a couple. Authority of the Church. The Bible is not the authority. The Church is the authority. I'll talk about that next week. And then another key doctrine. What they would call the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper. Or what we would call, in particular, the doctrine of transubstantiation. How many of you have heard of the doctrine of transubstantiation? Okay. All right. You want to have a point?
No, I was just going to say what it was.
What's that?
If you were asking what it was.
Yeah. They believe that the Lord's Supper is a literal reoffering of the body and blood of Christ. That when you partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper, it literally becomes in your mouth the literal body and the literal blood of Jesus. And that's a key element in Catholicism. Their whole worship system is based on that. So anyway, next week, we're going to try to cover it in one or two classes. And so let's buckle on our seatbelts and looking forward to see y'all. And give me feedback. Need feedback. Thank you for your participation.